Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
It is January 6th. Welcome to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. We know this as Bashing Trump Day in America. Those on the left will call it Insurrection Day, and they will try to build a monument in Washington, D.C., and they will have speeches, and they will talk about Donald Trump being the insurrectionist, and they will try to begin their campaign on this January 6, 2022, against Donald Trump and Republicans, not just for the midterms, those who he endorses in the midterms, but for his presidential run that is likely forthcoming in 2024. That is what January 6th is all about, as zero members of Congress or staff or anyone involved in this were hurt in any way, shape, or form. On what was an ugly scene and what's something that shouldn't have been done, any good conservative thinks they were helping the conservative cause or Donald Trump that went crashing into the Capitol building on January 6th is obviously not thinking clearly. There is such a thing as mob mentality. You get around a large group, everybody moves in a direction. I do believe their thought initially was, you know, they're going to stop us. There will be a perimeter. There will be a place where we can't go. And then eventually they saw some people opening doors saying, come on in. Some did, some broke windows, some did terrible things. There was some property damaged inside. Mostly it was a bunch of people taking selfies in something that I hope that I would not have done, even if I had gone to the rally. But there is such a thing as mob mentality. We don't know. If this were, remember, if this were liberals that did this, this would have been called a peaceful protest for democracy, because the democracy is over. The threat of democracy is, of course, the conservatives in America. And America can never be a democracy again because we have conservatives in this country. This would be a peaceful protest for democracy. Instead, it's the other way around. This was Insurrection Day, and they'll probably want to make it a national holiday or at least a day of silence, you know, on the floor of the House or something like that. Build a monument for the windows that were broken and the walls that were scuffed up and things like that. There's going to be a prayer vigil, apparently, the Democrats are going to put on in D.C. We know Joe Biden is going to speak, and it will all be about Donald Trump. You know, there used to be certain rules of engagement that if you were the sitting president, you didn't bash former presidents. That's so far gone. Obama just torched that. You know, George W. Bush sat there for 8 years and got torched by Obama and took it and never fought back and never really has. George W. Bush will be remembered as the last president in our lifetimes anyway that lived up to the creed of basically, we're not going to trash the people that were here before us. This job is hard. I'm going to do the job my way, and I'll be judged after that. I'll let time and history judge my presidency. Well, that changed. Obama changed that. And, of course, Trump doubled down on that, bashing Obama and Democrats. And now the Democrats have just gone full in. They're going to have a prayer vigil. And I ask why they're having a prayer vigil. I'm really curious. I thought prayer vigils were for the dead. And so nobody really got hurt here or died. One police officer had a stroke or heart attack. There was one very serious threat on January 6th, and that is a guy who had a pipe bomb and was caught on his cell phone and on cameras, and they know who he is, but we've not heard anything about this person. It's largely believed that he's Antifa, that he's a far left loon that had some pipe bombs and was going to try to mess with whatever around the Capitol last January. But we've heard nothing of him. He, as far as we know, we don't know who that is, whether they're in jail, whether that person's been caught. The cell phone obviously was pinged a million times. It'd be an easy person to find. We haven't heard anything about that person. We've heard about a lot of people who left the rally and entered the building, and some of them still incarcerated. So they're going to have a prayer vigil, and all I can think of is the prayer vigil is for Ashley Babbitt. I mean, this really is now on the Republicans to turn this on the Democrats. If they're going to make a big scene out of this, somebody needs to step up and say it was really nice they had a prayer vigil for Ashley Babbitt, who was murdered by a Capitol Hill police officer. That would be a nice way. I mean, the guy panicked. Look, I'm not trying to jail the police officer. He was probably scared. His track record as a cop is not good. I find the incident of that man shooting Ashley Babbitt to be very similar to the woman who was just convicted in Minnesota of shooting the young man instead of tasing the young man, making a mistake, panicking in a situation and making a mistake. I think it happens. And I think it happened with the Capitol Police officer that shot Ashley Babbitt. I think he panicked. Ashley Babbitt shouldn't have been climbing through the window. I'm not trying to defend her. She shouldn't have been there first. She shouldn't have been trying to break through and climb through a window. But there's no way you can justify that homicide. You can't. I'm not calling for jail time. I defend police officers. I absolutely do. I don't think that guy was trying to run around and murder the rioters. I think he freaked out and panicked. I think he was close to her. She was climbing through the window. He didn't have a good look, and I think he shot her. I think a lot of weird things happened that day. What didn't happen was any rioters hurting anyone. They did a dumb and stupid thing. They shouldn't have done it. Riot works for me, but remember, if it were the other way around, we'd be calling this a peaceful protest. As it stands, it's Insurrection Day, and we're going to have a prayer vigil, and the president is going to speak, and the Dems are going to try to make this an annual thing where we remember what Republicans do in America. We won't talk about 4 months of rioting the summer before, burning down police stations, actually killing, injuring and killing police officers. We won't talk about that, what happens on the left. No, no, no. Insurrection Day is here. And I heard someone very smart say, I don't know who it was, that said, you know what this is all about? For these people in this house on the left, this is the closest they've ever been to being scared in their life. It's the most out of control and violent thing they've ever seen. They see things on the news. They see the riots in Minneapolis. They see police buildings burning. They hear officers dying and all that. But it doesn't really affect them living in their, you know, multi-million dollar condos with security in Georgetown and having security staff with them at the Capitol. They live in a bubble. This was the closest it ever came to them. And I truly believe that they knew these people were not armed, that there was nothing dangerous, that probably the dude with the horns, whatever we call that guy, looked like a Star Wars character that went in there, that if that dude had run into Pelosi, what he probably would have done would be ask for a selfie. That's my thought. I think if he'd found her, you know, he got to the podium, he got to the speakers, he got the gavel in his hand. When he got there, I honestly feel like if Pelosi had been there, he said, hey, can I take a picture? That's mostly what the people went to Pelosi's office and took pictures. One dude, I think, picked up her phone and took a picture like he was on Pelosi's phone. It was comical. It really was comical how silly these people were. They shouldn't have done it. They hurt the Republicans. They hurt the conservative cause. They got wound up. But I don't think they were ever going to hurt anybody, or they would have. There were plenty of other people to hurt there in the Capitol building. They didn't hurt anybody. Insurrection Day is here. Elise Stefanik is a congresswoman in New York. And on the eve of National Trump Bashing Day, which is what this will be, and it's going to all be about Donald Trump. This is about elections, folks. This whole day and everything you're going to see on January 6th is about elections. It's about bashing Trump. Elise Stefanik at least went out, you know, unlike Ted Cruz, who has spoken out and said, oh, it was a terrible day in America's democracy. And like Ted Cruz being some elitist, like he was scared. Ridiculous. It's all ridiculous. Elise Stefanik on Wednesday says, this is all on Nancy Pelosi. Let's make no bones about it. She had multiple warnings and all kinds of requests for troops, National Guard, military. What would you like on this day, January 6th? What can we do to fortify this thing? Trump administration asked, can we help? What can we put around the cap? What can we do? It was all declined. Elise Stefanik is reminding people that she declined it. To this day, there are no answers why there was not more security. Nothing has been done at the Capitol except that what'd they do? They built a wall around it. They've built a perimeter now around the Capitol, which we can't do for our country's borders for the regular people, but we can do for Nancy Pelosi and her folks in the Democrat Party inside Capitol Hill. There is an investigation taking place of what happened on January 6th. It's a political witch hunt. Does anybody even know this? Elise Stefanik pointed this out. This should be it. This should be a big story in America, and it's not. We focus on the wrong things. What will happen with Republicans today and even conservative outlets is. They will let the Democrats have their say, and then they will criticize what was said. That's it. Nobody gets out in front of this. So I applaud Elise Stefanik for getting out in front of this today and saying, does anybody in America know that this sham investigation that's taking place about what happened on January 6th, the only office that is off limits to any part of the investigation is the Speaker's office? No records, no subpoenas, no phone calls, no emails, no nothing. Everything that she did leading up to January 6th is specifically excluded from the investigation. And there's a pair of Republicans that are on this thing that are involved in this, right? Cheney is one of them. Liz Cheney's one of them. There's a pair of Republicans who have teamed up with the Democrats, so it is a bipartisan investigation into what happened on January 6th. If you are a Republican and you signed up for any investigation whatsoever that excluded somebody's office in this investigation, you should be fired. The voters should run you out. You are not worthy of your position. How could you possibly agree to an investigation where, okay, investigate all the Republicans, but nobody can investigate anything that happened in the Speaker's office? We can't look at any emails that came from the FBI. We can't look at any emails that came from the CIA. We can't look at any emails that came from the White House or National Intelligence or Security or any of those things. We can't look at any of those. We can't see the warnings that Pelosi had. We can't see any of the documentation in the weeks leading up to this that Pelosi had been warned. That cannot be let public. That's off limits in this investigation. Well, that's no investigation at all. I don't know Elise Stefanik very well, but you know what? Sounds like we better start putting her out front in front of a lot of people that we see on TV who are saying, oh, it was terrible. It was such a terrible day. There's plenty of Republicans who want to pile on Trump for instigating it. He stood right in front of the people and said, peacefully protest. He said it. It came right out of his mouth. And they want to put him in jail. That's what this is about. What they really are hoping for is they can jail him somehow. We're going to find something and we're going to jail Donald Trump. Do you really think Donald Trump wanted any of his people to go down there and hurt somebody? It's absurd. It's absolutely ridiculous. This day is a complete sham. This was a huge mistake by the people that were at the rally for going and doing this. In fact, I think it's exactly what liberals wanted. I think their lack of security was planned. I think they were hoping, best case scenario, four or five people would break something through a window and try to get in, or, you know, do some damage to the outside of the building and get arrested. They were hoping that four or five idiots would throw some rocks, break some glass, you know, maybe even try to throw a Molotov cocktail or something, set a little fire in a dumpster or a trash can. That's what they were hoping for. They were hoping against hope for that to happen so they could just excoriate all these people and make all the Republicans, all the conservatives lumped into one category of violent rioters. I don't think they ever dreamed the mob mentality would take over and that many people would walk down to the Capitol and that many people would walk in. But what they didn't count on was the number of security people at the door saying, come on in, don't come on in. Because they were. Many people were waved in and kept in the rotunda and in the big areas. Look, we're not letting you in. We're going to disperse this thing. Let's not, you know, one of the great rules of crowd control and keeping things from getting violent, because they certainly had numbers on their side. They didn't have weapons, but they had numbers on their side. One of the things you don't want to do is instigate violence if you're the Capitol Police. You don't want to start whacking people over the head with batons the second they come to the door. The whole mob on the outside gets more unruly and more violent. So I understand why at times they thought, all right, these people aren't armed. They don't look dangerous. Let them in. Let's just do this thing peacefully. And it was mostly a peaceful protest, which is what the Democrats have coined. That's their term. A mostly peaceful protest ended with a police station burning. True, most of the people there were peaceful. Some of them burned down a police station. These people were mostly peaceful. I don't know which of these people that went in hurt anybody. They broke a lot of property. They should be punished. They absolutely should be punished. The punishments so far are out of control, unjust. We have officials in New York City saying the only people we want to keep in jail is people who commit murders. Everyone else will be let go. But if you're a conservative and you breach the Capitol, we're going to put you in solitary confinement. This is insanity. This whole day is a joke. I've already spent too much time on this topic. You're going to be inundated with this, all very one-sided from the left. But remember, this particular day is very simple. January 6th will always be known as Bash Donald Trump Day. That's all this is. They are scared to death of him coming back in 24. I'm going to tell you right now, we'll do a whole podcast on this later, maybe in the summer. If Trump gets back, this is just a headline. If Trump gets back in, it will not look anything like his first term. It won't. He won't have to tweet. He won't have to do anything. He's just going to go in. If I'm Trump and I got elected again, I would go in there and I would close the walls. I would lock out the media and I would just be president. I would do whatever the hell I wanted for 4 years. I wouldn't talk to anybody. I wouldn't say anything. I wouldn't tweet. I wouldn't give interviews. I wouldn't do news conferences. I would go in there, roll up my sleeves. I would clean up the CIA, the FBI, the Department of Justice, the swamp, the federal government. I would fire people right and left. I would impose the opposite of Joe Biden's federal mandate, and that would be you don't get hired in the federal government unless you are unvaccinated. That's it. If you're unvaccinated, we can hire you for a federal job. That's going to be our mandate. We had one before that said, if you don't get the shot, you're fired. Why not reverse it? And just start hiring conservatives at every possible position. Make it miserable for all the liberals that work in the federal government. Push them out over 4 years and clean up the swamp. And don't tell anybody what you're doing. Just do it. They couldn't touch you. They couldn't touch you. There's no reelection. There's nothing like that. Can you imagine if he got back in? Woo! Wow. You talk about burning down the house. That would really be something to see. Truly something to see. KKHI is brought to you by Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, and Excelsior Springs. I was texting Mike and his lovely wife, Gina, last night about something completely unrelated to their business, but they're just really good people. And I want you to know that I've got personal relationships with all these sponsors on the podcast, and I just keep getting emails from so many of you that have chosen to do business with these sponsors, and you say it's true. They really do treat you very, very well. Folks, we're conservatives. We know how to be respectful and treat others well. Well, a lot of times in the car business, people don't feel that. You're going to feel that at Roberts Robinson. If you're looking for a Chevy, GMC, or Buick, they'd love to hook you up. They'd love to order it from the factory and get it for you in a few weeks, just exactly like you like it. So when it's time, consider Roberts Robinson. Give them a chance. Doesn't matter where you live. You can live 2, 3, 4 hours away from Excelsior Springs, and they'll take care of everything for you and even bring the car to you. That's why folks that work at Roberts Robinson say we just make it easy. They do for customers. And their service department is also terrific. Online at robertsrobinson.com with GMC, we are professional grade. 360documentsolutions.com. Mark Lindquist, this guy is, he is just filled with energy, is the best way to describe him. He's conservative to the core. He's really good at running business, not only his business, but your business. He can help you become more efficient and productive. It's not really consulting. He will consult with you on some of the processes that you use, whether it's copiers, printers, IT solutions, mailing systems, phone systems, really anything around your office. They can help you be more productive. This is free. Make this call this year. This is the time to call 360 Document Solutions for your office. Do it for your boss. If you work there, do it for the owner. Mention it to the owner. Hey, this guy's really good. We might be able to save some real money here. 913-745-5344. Online at 360documentsolutions.com. Daryl Miser and his team at Miser's Sports in the Northland will hook you up with your baseball uniforms for this year. Any kind of team uniforms, they do all that. They do embroidery for your business or personal. If you need swag for your company, they'll make it for you. They are the proud producers of the Kevin Keatsman Has Issues t-shirts that we've been giving away. Pretty cool swag they're making there at misersports.com in the Northland. You can call Daryl at 816-741-8622. They specialize in letter jackets, individual letter jackets, and singular patches, which nobody does anymore, but he does. There's not a lot of money in it or profit in it. He just does it because that's the way they've always done it for two generations now at Misers Sports. Again, they work with Heroes Among Us KC, which is cool. Get your ball uniforms there this year. Get your embroidery for your company done there. Anything you make, t-shirts, hats, golf shirts, golf tournament, call Daryl. He can do it for you and do business with somebody you're really going to like. Daryl Miser, 816-741-8622, online at miserssports.com. And, of course, our friends at Joslyn's Jewelry. Valentine's Day, just a month away. 95th and Antioch, Joslyn's Jewelry is the jewelry you'll recommend to your friends and family. How about this? Politico, which is a left-wing media outlet, Politico has put out a story, and this is a direct quote from the story. Joe Biden, of course, was the presidential candidate that said he would end COVID. He was going to stop COVID. He was going to end it. Just like they're going to fix the weather. They're going to change the weather. He's going to change the weather. This is great. People actually vote for this. They actually believe this. Oh, I'm going to vote for this politician. There will be no viruses on Earth, and he can change the weather. I mean, really? And the left makes fun of religion because they think people blindly go into religion and go, oh, yes, sir, whatever my pastor or my priest or whatever says, we just follow. You think people that believe in God will believe anything? This is what they say on the left. Oh, these dumb Christian conservatives, they'll believe anything anybody peddles them. Really? And your politicians peddle that there will be no virus and I will change the weather. I mean, seriously. What kind of person would believe that a politician could end a virus and change the weather? I mean, that's just astounding to me. And yet, that's what Biden campaigned on. And he's president. That's all you got to know. He campaigned on it and he's president. That's all you got to know. Politico reports, now, and this is a direct quote from the story. Health officials inside and outside the Biden administration now privately acknowledge there is little new left for the federal government to do, but hold on and hope the worst is over soon. I do a mic drop, but I don't want to have to buy a new mic. I'm cheap. Health officials inside the Biden administration and outside privately acknowledge that there is little new left for the federal government to do, but hold on and hope the worst is over soon. Politico reports that the directive inside the White House from, I guess, Ron Klain is our de facto president, chief of staff, he the most powerful person in America. The directive now is to manage, not contain. This is an absolute story. This is correct. I do not question this. This is a left-wing publication. They clearly have people on the inside telling them privately, we cannot contain this virus. There is nothing we can do. The virus will continue spreading. There are viruses every year. There have been viruses every year of our life. We don't stop viruses. I mentioned it briefly on yesterday's podcast. I'm not sure stopping viruses is God's plan. I'm not sure it's the right thing. I'm not sure what would happen to humanity if we didn't have viruses, if we didn't have threats of sickness, if we didn't have reasons to live a healthy life, to try our best, to be most productive. I believe these are all important things for the human race. And if we really wanted to be open and honest, what we would be saying right now is more important than the shot, more important than a mask, get healthy. Whatever your doctor is telling you to be your best physical condition, that is the best thing you can do against COVID. That's what you personally can best do, is be as healthy as you can possibly be. It will not be bulletproof for everyone, because a lot of people will have hidden conditions that you don't know about. You could have the beginning of pancreatic cancer and not know it. But if you're losing weight and trying to get healthier and eating better, it's certainly going to help you in your fight against cancer too. There's nothing bad about getting healthy. And we know that, you know, they run around and say it's a pandemic of the unvaccinated. It really truly is a pandemic of the unhealthy. a majority of the people that it affects are people who choose to be unhealthy. Certainly, there are millions of people in this country right now who have an illness, a disease, something that they did not choose to have, and they are vulnerable to this. I'm not in any way diminishing that. I understand that. But the overwhelming majority of people that this has affected, and I just got to say this, it's affected people who've chosen to be unhealthy. Heavy smokers, heavy drinkers, overweight, whatever. You can quit all that stuff. You can fix all that. Anybody can lose weight, quit smoking, and quit drinking. Anybody can do that. Get off drugs. Anybody can do that. If you're really concerned about COVID, that's the place to start. Not a mask or 6 feet apart or plexiglass or don't touch the counter. Remember that one? Oh, don't touch the counter. You could die. Ridiculous. The whole thing's been ridiculous. I want to say this. I'm thinking you maybe you've seen this, and I'm not picking on this family. This is a sad story. It's about the woman. She does this PSA for the state of Kansas, the health department in the state of Kansas. And she talks about her husband and the love of her life and how he got COVID and she lost him. And it's a sad story. It's a terribly sad story. It is the single least effective public service announcement I've ever seen in my life. The woman who looks sweet, I think that they say they live in Hayes, Kansas. We'll have more on Hayes in a moment. Somewhere in Kansas. The woman comes on and she just looks like a nice person and you'd want to be her friend and all of that. She's at least 100 pounds overweight. At least. And she talks about her husband and how he got COVID and how this thing is real and how he got really sick and he was in the hospital for weeks and clung to life and all this. You've seen the commercial, haven't you? Then they show pictures of him standing on the beach on vacation and he's at least 150 pounds overweight. At least. This is what Governor Kelly came up with for the health department in Kansas to encourage people to go get the shot. Maybe it's subliminal advertising. Maybe what they're saying is don't be a fatty. Look at these two fat people and how their lives are ruined. And I'm not trying to fat shame. It's your choice. I'm simply saying is if you're creeped out and scared to death of COVID, shed those pounds. Get rid of them. If this is all you can think about is I got to mask up, I got to get another shot, I got to do this. If that's who you are and you're 150 pounds overweight, your energy is misguided. Lose the weight. Lose the weight. This is the worst commercial ever. You want to just feel terrible. And then you go, damn, that dude was big. I mean, really big. Like he could have, looks like maybe he's in his late 30s. He could have fallen over clutching his chest of a heart attack. Forget COVID. Any day, you know, walking from his car in the parking lot into Walmart, he could have just collapsed. This whole thing has made us all crazy. Again, I'm not being biased, prejudiced, hateful on people that are overweight. My God, most of us are overweight. My doctor's always telling me I'm 10 to 15 pounds overweight. Always. I own that. That's the way I live. You know, my target weight, too hard. I like a piece of cheesecake every now and then. I like a couple of beers watching football. It's too hard. Can't do it. Sorry. Balance. But I don't think you're ever going to catch me 150 pounds overweight. Like that dude. And I don't know what they think we're seeing when we see that PSA. I feel bad. I've hesitated for a month to bring that up because I don't just want to be seen as somebody who's hating on fat people. I'm not. If you want to be 100 pounds overweight, knock yourself out. I don't care. If you just want to eat cookies all day, be that person. I don't care. I really don't. You're a little bit of a drain on the healthcare system, but whatever. It's your life. We've got laws. We've passed them all. If that's what hurts healthcare or makes my health insurance costs go up, I'm all in on the deal. We haven't fixed that system. So it's part of the deal. You live your life, I'll live mine. Here's the deal with that guy that died and got COVID on that PSA. There was 150. He might've been 200 pounds overweight. He was 300 plus, well into the 300s. Look, it was his choice. He did that. That's on him. It is. And I don't care if he wants to live that way or die that way. It really isn't my life. But if we really are going to virtue signal and tell everybody that we really care about everybody's life and morbidity and dealing with viruses and not getting sick and dying, we have known for a long time, that if you smoke, if you drink heavily, and if you're overweight, you ain't living as long as other people. This is not news. None of this is news. This is all from day one. It's all been such common sense. And yet they've scared the hell out of everyone. Now we know, according to Politico, that the Biden administration has thrown up their hands and says there's nothing left for them to do but hold on and hope the worst is over soon. They'll try to manage, not contain. Here's what needs to happen. The Biden administration, if they were real leaders, they would call all the power brokers with tech. If they were real leaders and really wanted to fix all this, they'd call all the power brokers with tech, the corporate media, the liberal left establishment, and they would say, shut up about COVID. It's hurting the Democrats right now. Stop reporting on it. Shh, shut up. Let's just forget it. Everybody knows it's out there. Let's take it out of the headlines. Let's move on to something else. But they don't do this. They still beat the drum. And we see Eric Swalwell in Miami at the Lowe's Hotel with some woman and a little baby. He's sitting in a restaurant chair holding a little baby 6 inches from his face with no mask on. But Eric Swalwell will tell you what they're doing in California is the right thing to do. California's extending all the mandates for another month. One more month. In the schools, everywhere. Biden administration says, we don't need to have anything in the schools. Schools are fine. They should be open. This doesn't harm kids. Fauci says, doesn't harm kids. Overreported hospitalizations with COVID. Kid goes into the hospital with a broken leg. They report it. They test them for COVID. They're COVID positive. They report it as a COVID case. It's all fake. Fauci's admitting that. The Biden administration is saying, keep schools open. It's all changing. Eric Swalwell's state, California, no, they're going to extend everything in California. So what's he do? He goes to Miami for vacation where he doesn't have to wear a mask. He goes to the beach, sits there in the hotel, holds a baby 6 inches from his face. Absolutely beautiful. Many of you have emailed me this week and said, hey, you were right, Kevin, about the new term. I don't know if anybody else is talking about this, really. The new term, flu-rona. My feeling is it's going to become a big term here in the next few weeks. Because they'll move away from COVID. They can actually scare you with something else. And they will be able to make it sound like flu-rona isn't Joe Biden. That it isn't the Democrats. They didn't do that. They're not responsible for this. Flu-rona is where you can have the flu and coronavirus at the same time. We have our first case in Kansas. First reported case. As a health director in Hays, Kansas, has reported that the first flu-rona case has occurred in Hays. You're going to hear more and more about flu-rona. Thank you to Sean and others who have emailed me and said, here it is. Flu-rona has hit the state of Kansas, and indeed it has. Meanwhile, the Kansas City Star writes that Kansas City hospitals, and this is, I got to start using more colorful language. I really want to say chicken-ess. I really want to say it. This is so chicken-ess by the Star. They didn't put a writer's name on the byline on this story. This story just says, by the Star. B-Y, not B-U-Y, by the Star. Byline of story, headline, da-da-da-da-da, by the Star. Complete chicken-ass. Because no writer that I know of would allow this sentence to be written. Kansas City area hospitals, because of COVID, because of Omicron, quote, are pushed beyond their limits like never before, unquote. Okay, I'm going to challenge that. When I'm done with the podcast today, I'm going to go up to my closest emergency room, and I'm going to take a picture. I'm going to take a picture in the waiting area. I'm going to put a mask on. I don't like to do that, but I will do that to walk in to the emergency room, and I'm going to take a picture of an empty emergency room, and I'm going to walk out, and I'll post it on Twitter, and I'll post it on Getter. I'm now on Getter, G-E-T-T-R, Getter. I'm on Getter. I have 57 whopping followers there. 20,000 on Twitter, 57 on Getter, but I haven't really told anybody I'm there. It's at KK Has Issues on Getter. If you want to switch from Twitter, switch to Getter. Trump's going to start one soon. Maybe we'll all wind up there. I don't know where we're all going to wind up. I'm just starting accounts everywhere, figuring that out. But I'll post the picture on Twitter and Getter, and Jessica put it on our Facebook page, and I'll show you an emergency room that is not, quote, pushed beyond their limits like never before. First of all, here's what's the problem with journalism today. Pushed beyond their limits means people are being turned away. That's a fact. If an emergency room hospital, if a hospital's emergency room is pushed beyond its limit, that means they're turning patients away. Right? Pushed beyond your limits. That means they catch you at the door and say, we can't help you. Go somewhere else. There's no room at the inn. Pushed beyond their limits like never before is what? Hyperbole? This is what they write, and they try to scare you with Omicron. They're killing Biden. They're killing Biden. Everybody's blaming this on Biden now. It's absurd. And they wouldn't put a writer's name on the story. It just says, by the star. From the Gateway Pundit, VAERS, which is the Vaccine Adverse Effects Reporting System. It's a federal government entity, part of the CDC, right? VAERS, we've done forever, hey, adverse effects from vaccines. We report how many we have and what's going on with vaccines in America. Well, this is now America and beyond, so this is the world. VAERS is reporting that there are almost 1.1 million cases of people who had adverse reactions to one of the shots. 21,000 deaths attributed to the vaccine worldwide. Now, I can't give you the information on how they figure out those deaths. Did somebody come in with cancer or a heart attack and they found out that they had gotten the shot 2 weeks earlier and didn't feel good from the shot? Are these people that went in April and said, boy, I'm sick. After getting this vaccine, I don't feel good. And they were sick for a couple of weeks, and 6 months later, they're dead. I don't know. I don't know how they categorized it, but this is our government. The Vaccine Adverse Effects Reporting System in the United States says over 1 million cases this year worldwide of people with adverse effects from the vaccine, 21,000 deaths worldwide. Wow. I'm not going to comment deeply on this because I've not done enough research to know exactly what's behind those numbers and exactly what they mean. But the fact that we have a federal agency that is reporting that in 2021 and it's not on the news is astounding to me. It's astounding. Maybe somebody should start putting PSAs up about that. I don't really know. On to sports, brought to you by Amazing Garage Floors, online at amazinggaragefloors.net. Man, I got all that salt and ice and crap from the snowstorm on my garage floor. Whoop, out she goes. Got a warm day, hosed her right out, driveway's brand, or garage floor's brand new. It's such a cool product. Call Hutch today, 913-901-7139, and get on the spring schedule with amazinggaragefloors.net. Back 9 Development, online at back9development.com. Kansas City, Lawrence, Topeka, Manhattan. Looking for a room addition, custom build, maybe a commercial property, expansion? Back 9 can do it. TJ's the best. He's also featuring right now a great condominium opportunity, the Solheim at Grand Mirror on the beautiful Colbert Hills Golf Course in the Flint Hills of Manhattan, Kansas, as a second home, investment property, hunting, fishing, golfing, sports watching getaway. You name it, they're right there in Manhattan. Easy access to Bill Snyder Stadium, just a mile or so down the road. Restaurants, walking distance, swimming pool, workout facility, covered parking. I mean, come on. When I went to K-State, I never thought there'd be anything like this in Manhattan. These things are so cool, I can't even believe it. Check them out. Solheim at Grand Mirror, online at back9development.com. And my buddy Chris and the gang over at B-Stock, wow, do they have laptops. That's all I can tell you is laptop, laptop, laptop. Cheapest prices anywhere in America. Online, bstock.net. They cost even less if you go in person. 14680 South Flaming Road. Apple, Dell, HP, Lenovo, any laptop you can think of, they've got it for less, typically 30% less than where you'd consider going. It's time to upgrade and get new at bstock.net. Steve Spagnuolo met with the media on Wednesday. I like this. Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator. I hadn't even thought about this. And I like this. And they did not make this up after the fact. He did not have 3 days to think about this. And, oh, he came up with something that sounds reasonable. And he largely got hammered by people for this. But I kind of like it. So we have this thing in football where if you're the best team, if you believe you're the better team, you do what? You play your game. You run your game. You say, we can do this. We will impose our will on you. We're going to do what we do. We believe we're better than you. If you're not as good, what do? You try to trick. You try to go for a lot of fourth downs. You try gadget plays. You try to disguise all this and that. Right? We all know this about football. Spagnuolo feels so good about his defense after 8 straight wins, 8 consecutive first quarters where nobody scored on his defense, ridiculous fourth down stops. The percentage the Chiefs have been stopping people on fourth down has been insane. They've been doing all kinds of great things defensively. Steve Spagnuolo now says on that 3rd and 27, and I'm going to tell you up front right now, this makes complete and total sense to me. I love this. I had never thought of this, and I've never heard this. It was 3rd and 27 at the 41-yard line. Game's tied. Spagnuolo says we're calling a 3rd and 6 defense, not a 3rd and 27 defense. If we keep them from going inside the 35-yard line, which would be a 7-yard gain, if we can stop them, they'll punt. They'll punt. An incomplete pass is a punt. If they get 7 yards or more, the Chiefs said that would be the distance for their kicker to kick a field goal and go up 3. There was zero thought we're giving up a first down. None. No chance, no how. How are they going to get a first down on 3rd and 27? Now, the odds of an incomplete pass, the odds of keeping them from getting 6 yards, are probably 10 times as great as a completed non-penalty, a completed non-penalty pass for 28 yards or more. Statistically speaking, that's a fact. They were playing the odds. This was absolutely the right call. 3rd and 6 does not call for a zone defense. Would have been great if he played his own. But they would have kicked a field goal. Chiefs would have been down 3 and would have had a chance to go down and tie the game, get it to overtime and maybe lose, or go down and maybe win the game. A lot of things, any of these scenarios would have been better than what happened. I'll agree with you. What you got was the winning Powerball numbers. 3rd and 27? He completed a pass like that? That's crazy. I get it. He called a 3rd and 6 defense and says if we can keep them from getting 6 yards, they will punt and we will win. We can win. Our defense can win this game on this play. There was no thought to the fact that the Bengals would get 28 yards. I respect that. That is the defensive coordinator saying, my defense is better than that. I'm going to do this to you. Watch what we're about to do. Folks, this wouldn't even be a discussion. Nobody would even know this was the case. If the Chiefs sent pressure, played man-to-man, and Joe Burrow throws incomplete and they punt it back to the Chiefs, we'd just be saying, oh, yeah, it was 3rd and 27. Of course they didn't get the first down, and they punted the Chiefs. Nobody would have given any credit anywhere or asked about any decision. I never even thought of this. Steve Spagnuolo called a 3rd and 6 defense on 3rd and 27, and he did the right thing. I'm probably the only person you're going to hear say that. He did the right thing. Those are the odds. The odds are way in your favor of winning the game if you call that defense, as opposed to the zone, giving up 15 yards, the easy field goal. Now, you've got time left. We love Patrick Mahomes' chance of going down and getting at least 3, but stranger things have happened. Turnovers happen. Stops happen. Missed field goals happen. All kinds of things happen. This was a defensive coordinator saying, we're going to win it right here. There will be no overtime. We're stopping them on this play. They're going to punt the ball to Patrick Mahomes, and we're going to go win the game. I'm sorry. I like it. When you're the better team and your defense has been playing over the last 2 months the way the Chiefs have, I like the mentality. I do. There were a lot of mistakes made, and it sucks the Chiefs didn't win. And they'll probably be the 2 seed. Looks like they're going to play the Chargers in the first week at Arrowhead Stadium. That'll be hard. We all know and understand that will be hard. Chiefs shouldn't have any trouble this week. Teddy Bridgewater out for the Broncos, it appears, still in concussion protocol. They are hopeful. They're hopeful Drew Lock can start. I love Drew Lock, great Kansas City family. wonderful young man, not scared of Drew Locke on Saturday. I'm not. Drew Locke got hurt in the last game, went to the locker room, got shot up with something, and was able to play or get back in the game. If he can't play, it'll be Brett Rippon. I don't mean to be getting too cocky, but I feel like this game is like the Steelers game. When you're playing against a team that isn't going to see, this is why the Chiefs' defense improving has been such a big thing. You go into that Steelers game, I was like, this is a beatdown. Steelers can't score. I feel the same way about the Broncos. Broncos got Drew Locke or Brett Rippon. They're not scoring on the Chiefs. I'm just not worried about the game because they can't score enough points to win it. You know, these teams that beat the Chiefs now, if you're going to beat it, you better score again. We're back on that. You better score. And a lot of teams just don't score against the Chiefs, and I don't think Denver will either. If the Chargers beat the Raiders, Chargers and Raiders play Sunday night, the winner is the seventh seed, essentially. It's win and in, which is why it's Sunday night football. Well, we all think that's going to be the Chargers, right? Maybe not. I'd love to see the Raiders win. That'd be kind of fun. We don't expect Houston to beat Tennessee, but I was listening to Carrington Harrison yesterday on 610 Sports Radio, and he said something that I've believed in a long time, and he was very wise in saying it, and he says it a lot more entertainingly and colorful than I do. He said, look, we got all these big point spreads. Chiefs are a 10-point favorite. Tennessee's an 11-point favorite. All these teams are big favorites. He goes, something crazy is going to happen this weekend. And he's right. We don't know what it is. Job one is make sure it's not the Chiefs. That the crazy thing isn't the Broncos beat the Chiefs. That's job one, okay? Go take care of business. Something weird is going to happen somewhere. Maybe it's the Raiders beating the Chargers. That would certainly be a surprise for a lot of people. It's probably not going to be the Colts losing to Jacksonville, but you never know. Something weird's going to happen somewhere. Keep an eye out for it. That's likely the case. One final Chiefs note to wrap that up. Tyreek Hill, there's a great piece of footage from NFL Films out this week. Do you remember the coach was it a coach? The back of his jacket caught on fire from the heater in the game on Sunday, and it burned the outer layer, and all the down feathers inside the coat just started blowing all over the place. You remember seeing that on TV? Tyreek Hill is caught on tape going, man, I thought it was a bird. I thought a bird was on fire. He thought a bird had flown right in front of the heater and just poof, like a Randy Johnson fastball. Oh, if you haven't seen it, folks. If you haven't seen it, Google Randy Johnson kills bird. This is years ago. Would that have been the 90s, early 2000s? Many. It was a spring training game, I think. I'm sorry. You can only say it's glorious because of the impossibility of it. Randy Johnson reaches back and fires a fastball to the catcher, and it only gets halfway to home plate because a seagull flies right in front of it, and the ball just explodes the bird. It's unbelievable. That's what it looked like. That's what the coat on Sunday looked like. And Tyreek Hill said, I thought it was a bird. Well, he's seen the Randy Johnson video. Oh, if you haven't seen it, Google it right now. Randy Johnson kills bird. It's unbelievable. That's what Tyreek Hill thought was happening on Sunday. Finch Knife Company is the maker of the best pocket knives anywhere in America. They're designed right here in Kansas City by the local folks and their startup company that's been in business for 2 years. Spencer and Steve are my guys there. If you're a dealer and you would like to stock these knives, reach out to them at finchknifeco.com. They're more than happy to put them in your store, and I'm more than happy to tell people that they're in your store. If they're anywhere, here in the Midwest, more than happy to tell people that you've got the Finch knives in there. So reach them by going to finchknifeco.com, shoot an email to them. They'd love to get you started with your first supply in your store, and we'll see if we can't move that product, and everybody makes money. And customers are happy because they love these pocket knives. FinchKnifeCo.com, available at Teague Tractor and Farm in Belton. That's T-E-A-G-U-E, Teague Tractor and Farm. And Justin over at Marion Body Shop, this isn't even a commercial. I got this from Joe from State Farm. All right, we know that Marion Body Shop is State Farm preferred. Joe lives about 20 minutes away, I think, 20 or 30 minutes away from Marion Body Shop. But he says, I emailed you a month ago about my daughter being in a wreck, and I plan to give Marion Body Shop a shot at the repair work. Well, they were awesome to work with. I had the pleasure of dealing with David and your man, Justin. The car turned out perfect, as you stated. They detailed it inside and out following the repair. I couldn't believe it. I stood outside for about 20 minutes with Justin while picking up the car. We froze our butts off talking politics. As a State Farm agent, I'm aware they're a preferred shop. I can't recommend them more. My agency's a half hour away from Merriam, but it's great to learn of a body shop I can recommend firsthand to any of my clients. Justin is a passionate businessman. We talked about you, and it's like you, your patrons, and your advertisers are all the same person. This is really a cool club. Thank you. And he said, he sent me another email, follow-up email. He said, Justin, just lit him up. He said, I walked up to Justin and said, I hear you like talking about politics. And he just, Justin could do his own podcast. I got to get Justin on here. I got to get Justin on here to do a podcast with me because he could probably just do his own. Maybe I'll have Justin fill in when I'm gone sometime. I'm off the tracks. Merriambodyshop.com, period. End of statement. There you go. Aaron Rodgers has responded to Hub Arkish, the sideline reporter for Westwood One, that says he will not vote for Aaron Rodgers for MVP because he's a jerk, biggest jerk in the league. He's a bad person. He's a bad guy. And there's more to MVP than just what happens on the field. So Aaron Rodgers responded when asked about this at his weekly news conference in Green Bay. He said, Hub Arkish is a bum. He doesn't know me. We've never had lunch. He doesn't know anything about me. Nobody knows him. He doesn't know me. His problem has nothing to do with any of the stuff that he said. His problem is I'm unvaccinated. And if Hub Arkish would like to start a new award, the MVVP, that's fine. That would be the most valuable vaccinated player. MVVP. Great. Then go vote for someone else. Otherwise, vote for the most valuable player in the league, and it's pretty obvious this year that that is Aaron Rodgers. The guy fights back. I'm telling you, he's one of the greatest spokesmen we have out there. He is driving them crazy on the left. He's really driving sports media crazy. Oh, my God. How did sports media get so liberal? Especially those that cover football. It's the ultimate conservative game. Football is basically American history on the gridiron. That's what it is. You're taking people from all walks of life. You're getting them out there 11 at a time to work together for one common goal of advancing the troops. It's American history. It is America. That's why the left hates football. Oh, my God, they hate football. They want to close football. They hate it. How are all these liberal sports writers making their living off football when they know that almost everybody in football is conservative? The coaches, the owners, the people in the front office, almost all the quarterbacks. Every offensive lineman that ever lived. There's so many conservatives in football, it's like a convention. Seriously. And Aaron Rodgers is out there speaking for him. I love it. He's smart. What he says is right. Update on Landry Weber. You know Stan Weber is on our football feast every Monday. Stan's son Landry got injured in the K-State bowl game against LSU on Tuesday night. Looked to me like he had maybe a broken leg. He had helmet to leg, to shin, and they carried him off. And Stan has told me that they believe no surgery will be required and that everybody's doing fine. And he saw Landry last night. I'm just telling you right now, this is a great American family. The Weber family is fantastic. And those children are great American patriots and winners in their own right. There's just, you can't even believe how great this family is. I just can't say enough good things. And we wish Landry the very, very best. I don't know that he's completely decided yet, but I think he's going to dedicate his life to others upon graduation. I'll find at some point we'll talk about it with Stan and let him discuss that. This family's just so good. And we wish Landry the best. He made the most of his college career. He did. He was not recruited. He was a walk-on. You know, the whole thing. You know, here's Stan paying his kid's way to K-State until he finally earned a scholarship. That's just great. I mean, who loves K-State more than Stan Weber and that family? Unbelievable. Stan belongs in the K-State Hall of Fame. It's embarrassing, and it's a joke now that they haven't put him in. He played quarterback there. His kids played there. His daughters play volleyball. He's been the K-State announcer for, what, 37 years? He's been the announcer? Mitch Holtis is in the K-State Hall of Fame. He was there like 13 years. This is a joke. Stan is not, you know, they say the squeaky wheel gets the oil. Stan keeps his wheel from squeaking. So he never gets the oil. He keeps his own wheel from squeaking. Stan Weber just has blinders on, puts his head down, and does his work always. I'm embarrassed, truly embarrassed, for Kansas State University that Stan Weber is not in. That's Gene Taylor. That's everybody. It's people I've talked to about this. It's Bill Snyder. It's everybody. Everybody in charge at Kansas State, I'm embarrassed for you. I'm embarrassed for you. This will get done. I don't know what you're waiting on. I can't even imagine what you're waiting on. The LGBT, that's not it. The LGB crypto coin will not be allowed on Brandon Brown's NASCAR. They changed their mind. They've backtracked. They initially told them, fine, all you can't do is put Let's Go Brandon on your car because we think that means FJB. But LGB coin can go on the car. Well, they've changed that now too. There's a petition you can sign online if you want to go check that out. And finally, on this episode of KKHI, there are reports simmering that Peyton and Eli Manning want to buy their own NFL team. They don't probably have $2 billion. They got a lot. A lot of people believe the reason they didn't take pay cuts for their teammates and everything through the years was to make those extra millions, invest them, watch them grow. The markets have gone bonkers since their careers. Their net worths are through the roof. They would not be able to buy this on their own. They'd have to put a group together. Peyton Manning loves Denver. He loves Colorado. He has moved there. He lives there. His family is there. Peyton Manning is a Coloradan at this point. I think he would like to buy the Denver Broncos. Their ownership has kind of been in turmoil since the owner died. John Elway's there. I think he and Peyton Manning are on pretty darn good terms. We know Manning and Elway each won Super Bowls there. It seems to me that those two guys would know enough people that they could get the money together. They just need one really rich guy to probably throw in $700-900 million, and then let Peyton Manning, I think Peyton has his eyes set on being the managing partner, the de facto owner of the Denver Broncos. Let's see if that materializes. That's starting to leak out there. And at the same time, ESPN is announcing, or I don't think they've formally announced this, they're thinking about doing the A-Rod cast for Sunday Night Baseball all summer. The way Manning did the thing, they're thinking about on ESPN2, they have Sunday Night Baseball, having A-Rod on there with people interviewing celebrities and stuff, because the Monday Night Football ratings this year were up 11%. They were the highest ratings in years and years and years for Monday Night Football. It's because of the Manning cast. Manning cast added viewers. They put some of the games on ABC. They put them on streaming. They had them on different platforms, and they had an 11% bump in number of eyeballs that watch Monday Night Football. So they got creative. They figured it out. It's not all the main broadcast, because who can listen to that? So they found a way, and they're thinking about doing that with Sunday Night Baseball as well. Thank you, folks, for hitting that like or follow button. If you do, bang it. Please become a follower, subscriber, liker, whatever you say, at KKHI. And if you want to become a patron, just go to kkhasissues.com. And have a great day, man. It's Donald Trump Bashing Day, January 6th at KKHI.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.